So as they got ready to take off and go out to sea, had a great time. And all of a sudden, when they was getting ready to go to bed, that there was a storm that came through on their anniversary. And it really made a lot of people sick. And the wife was upset. And she was upset because they had planned this trip and spent a lot of money. And she was upset that they had rough seas. And so the husband tried to, you know, put her mind at ease and say it's going to be okay as long as we're together. But she didn't really appreciate that, so she wanted to talk to the captain because she wouldn't let him know that she had spent a lot of money, and her husband a lot of money on this trip, and she was upset that they were having rough seas. And the husband once again tried to say, baby, it's going to be okay, and you don't need to do that. But, of course, she was very persistent. And she said, no, I want to speak to the captain now. So he says, okay, saying that she wouldn't give up. So he called up to the bridge and said, hey, my wife would like to speak to the captain. So the crew obliged, and the captain got on the phone, and the wife got on the phone. She said, I want you to know, sir, that my husband has spent a lot of money on this trip. And this is our 20th year anniversary, and I really don't appreciate that this is a rough sea that we're in, and you would have felt that you would have knew, all this technology, that you would have knew that this storm was going to come. And that you would have did something, and you would have made sure that we didn't get caught up in the storm. And so she was pretty upset. And the captain listened quietly to her. And after she had told him a piece of her mind, the captain said to her, ma'am, I first of all want to say congratulations on your wedding anniversary. And he wanted to say, I also want to apologize for this storm that we're having. But he also said, but I want you to rest assured that you can go to sleep and sleep well. He said, number one, because this ship was built for a storm like this. This ship can handle this type of storm. And secondly, the reason why you can go to sleep, because I want you to know that while you're sleeping, I'm going to be awake. And I'm going to be at the helm, and I'm going to be personally driving the ship myself. And I've been trained for such a time as this, so I want you to know that this ship has been built for a time as this. I've been trained for a time as this, and you can sleep well because I'm going to be up while you're sleeping. And she said, well, thank you very much, and she went to sleep. Well, and the reason why she was able to do it, because he gave us some confidence, the fact that he knew what he was doing. And also, it taught us some valuable lessons. And I believe that in our lives, that we have storms come into our life that we don't foresee, that we don't know that they're coming. But I believe that if you was honest with yourself, you would say that it was during those storms of life that you learned some valuable lessons. I submit to you that most of us learned more about ourselves and more about God during life storms than we ever do when things are going well and everything's peachy hunky-dory and we have money in our pocket, the marriage is going well, the kids are having good grades, and the job is going well. We don't seem to learn as much then because we're too busy celebrating the blessings of God. But as soon as the storm comes, but things are not as good as they should be. The marriage is not going okay. The kids are not doing it like should. The dog is cutting up. The bills are funny. The money is funny. Like, you start learning about yourself. You start learning what you're made of. You start learning what your marriage is made of when your marriage hit a rough spot. You learn what you're made of. You learn who God is in times of life when you go through a storm. And I submit to you there's valuable lessons you can learn in the midst of a storm. And we're going to see that through this story today, as Jesus walks on water, that there's some valuable lessons that we can learn during this encounter that John writes about. And see, what can we learn from this event of Jesus walking on water? What can we take away from this about himself and about ourselves and about the disciples to help us when we come into life storms? This story has been, most of us know it, we can recite it, we can talk about it, yet Jesus walks on water. And for most of us, we read it so much that doesn't really seem to be like, wow. We just seem like, oh yeah, Jesus walked on water. But the disciples, when that happened at their time and moment, it was a big deal. They were going through some things. And to see Jesus walking on water transformed and shaped their lives. So I invite you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 16 through 21. And please stand when you have it as we read the Word of God together. John, chapter 6, verse 16. And it reads as follows. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Let us pray. Father, help us as we glean truth from your word. May your truth transform our lives in such a way that it bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Valuable lessons learned at sea. It was a rough day at sea. Now, being in the Navy, I've had some rough days at sea. I know what being a rough day at sea feels like. I've been out there. I've seen when the ship is rocking back and forth. And there's some valuable lessons that you can learn. And there's some rough days at sea when you can see how that water begins to bounce you all around. Some of us who are military understand what it looks like when you have a rough day at sea. You learn how to walk differently. I mean, you learn how to walk on the bulkhead, on the walls. You learn how to walk. And you also learn how to exercise at a rough day at sea. You learn how to run on a treadmill at sea. It's a different, but it's a technique to running on a treadmill out at sea. It's very, very important how you do it. You can hurt yourself. So you have to learn how to exercise and run on a treadmill out to sea. You have to learn how to lean and rock with it. Seriously. Still on the sea, understand that you can hurt yourself out there. So some rough days at sea. Now here's Jesus at the time that he has just finished feeding 5,000, more than 5,000 people. They're excited. They've seen the miracles, and they have excited in their mind. They want to make him king. Well, Jesus decides, no, he's not going to be their king because he's already king, and his kingdom is now in this world. So he decides to depart. But in doing that, the Bible also says that this story, you can find it in Matthew chapter 14 and also in Mark chapter 6, that Jesus does something. He sends his disciples away. The Bible says that he makes them get into the boat. He makes them leave. And then also he sends the people away who he had fed. He sends them away, and he says that he goes on a mountain by himself to pray. Now he tells the disciples to get into the boat. Now the disciples are on their way to, in the boat, they're on their way to Capernaum. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, a strong wind comes blowing. And a strong wind comes aboard the sea and begins to rough up the waves. And at this time, they're in this boat together, and now, you know, when strong winds come and the waves start bolstering, what it does to a boat, it begins to rock it. And now this boat is going all over the place, and they're trying to head in a direction, so they're trying as hard as they can to keep this boat, first of all, from flipping over, and also to keep this ship going in the right direction. But the wind is going against them, and the sea, and it's a rough, rough sea, and it's rough winds. And they're trying their hardest to make it. I want you to understand something that, and I think about this, and this is a key point I want you to understand, that's not in your notes, that what's over your head is always under Jesus' feet. Because these waves were bashing, coming over their heads, and they're thinking, man, this is rough. And they're thinking, probably thinking to themselves, where is Jesus when we what? Need him. Where is he at when he, I mean, have you ever said to yourself when things start going bad, you think to yourself, Lord, where are you when I need you? I mean, stuff is going bad. You think, I sure would need Jesus now. And I want you to understand that Jesus is always there. Even in storms, he doesn't abandon you. That he's there with you in the good times, he's there with you in the not so good times. Jesus is always there with you. And I want you to understand, he was with those disciples. As a matter of fact, it says in Mark that Jesus was on the mountain, and it says that he was watching them. That he was on the mountain looking at them on the sea, and he saw exactly what was happening. I want you to understand that nothing catches Jesus by surprise. Even in your storm, when you think no one's watching you, Jesus is there watching what's going on at this. And also, he knows how much you can take. You understand that? Jesus knows how much you can take. He says, I can't take it anymore. You can take more than you think you can. I head up to what? Here. And yet, God is watching over things that's going on. And I'm so thankful that we have a God that never sleeps, that never slumbers. That he never loses his mind when I'm out of my mind. He's still in his right mind. He never loses his patience when I'm impatient. He is there watching what is going on. And he's watching his disciples on the sea trying to make it. They're struggling, and he's watching what's going on. And after he's at one time, he said, okay, well, it's time to go down. I mean, can you imagine? He said, well, it's time to go down there and take care. So I'm going to them. So Jesus decides to walk to them. And he walks on the water toward them. Now, they see this happening, and they're rowing. They're probably arguing. Now, here you got all these. Now, these are fishermen in this boat. So these fishermen know about rough seas, but this is a rough storm. So here's fishermen on this rough seas, and all of a sudden, as they're trying to row, in fact, they see a figure coming on the water. Now, they can't quite make it out that it's Jesus. Matter of fact, Matthew and Mark says that they become so afraid because they think it's a spirit. They think it's a ghost because, matter of fact, they haven't heard no one walk on water before in their lives. So now we read this and say, okay, Jesus walked on water, no big deal. But if he was back there in their time, first of all, no one's walking on water. And if anybody's going to be out there, it's going to be a dead person. It's going to be a ghost. Surely Jesus is not going to be walking on water. So Jesus is out there walking on water toward them, and it said that they became so frightened, and they say, what's going on? Not only are they, first of all, they're already upset because they're in a storm. Now all of a sudden they see someone walking on water. It's like, okay, wait a minute. What is going on here? And Jesus says to them, it is I. Do not be afraid. Do not be frightened. Now, I want to let you say that that's the easiest for Jesus to say because he's God. And he understands that nothing, no circumstances, no situation catches him off by surprise. But for them, this is serious stuff. So Jesus is walking on water. They see him coming. They think it's a ghost or someone. Jesus says, it's me. Now, I want you to understand, why would Jesus doing that? Why would he walk on water? He's already fed the 5,000. Why is he walking on water toward them? I think, number one, because John writes this, and the purpose of John is to reveal to us who Jesus is. So John used this miracle, what Jesus is doing. He goes back to pointing us to who Jesus is. And I believe the main reason that John writes this story is to tell us that Jesus walks on water to reveal his person and his power. He's revealing who he is. He's revealing to them his person and his power. Now, it says also in the Gospel of Mark chapter 6 that Jesus also did this miracle and walked on water because it says that the disciples' hearts were hardened because of the feeding of the 5,000. That they saw what Jesus did. They saw him feeding 5,000. And it says that even what he did, even his disciples did not clearly understand what he was actually doing or what that meant. That they were still thinking about that. It says that they hadn't fully realized who he was. They understand what had happened, but it says that their heart was hardened by the feeding of the 5,000. They were still closed-minded. What's taking place? They didn't really understand the significance of this. So Jesus sends them away, says, go get in the boat, go to Capernaum. I'm going to go up to pray. But now, does Jesus know that the storm is going to hit? Yes, he does. Matter of fact, it says he's watching them. Now, Mark says that he would have passed them by. I mean, Mark said he might have kept going. I mean, there's something Jesus said, I might just keep walking to let you learn and see me walk by you on the water, let you know, hey, this doesn't faze me. But yet he wants to show them who he is. He is the Messiah, the Son of God. He wants them to really understand that he's the Messiah, the Son of God. And also he wants them to know that he's all powerful. Now, why do they need to know who he is and by his power? Because eventually, Jesus Christ is going to lead them and send them out as his representative, as his ambassadors. He's going to send them out to continue to carry on his mission. And they need to know that they serve a God who's all-powerful. They need to know that they serve a Jesus who's God. He's all-powerful. And that nothing's impossible with God. And I understand that you and I need to know that also as believers, is that when we're following God, when we're trusting God, we need to know that we serve a God who's all-powerful. And that any situation that comes into your life, you need to know that this storm is in your life is not greater than Jesus. Because there are some people, they're what I call, they're circumstantial praisers. They praise God when the circumstances are good. And when things are going bad, they don't praise God. They upset with God. I talked to a lady just this week, and she said to me she was upset with God. I said, well, why are you mad with God? She said, well, I am mad with God because, number one, my mother just passed away. And then she said, and a couple years ago, my brother got killed. And God has taken everything away from me, and I am mad with God. I said, well, you told me that someone killed your brother. Are you mad with that person? He said, well, yeah, I'm mad with him too. I said, well, what's God got to do with that person who killed your brother? You said that person killed your brother. And I said, well, the thing about this is there's two options. You can be mad with God and be bitter, or you can recognize, first of all, that, and you can take that anger and say that there was a person who did that. There was sin that was committed, that person committed sin by murdering your brother. And you can understand that even in the midst of what's going on, that you can trust God and say, God, this situation happened in my life. And I recognize that it wasn't that you who did it. It was someone else who did that. And I'm coming to you to find strength and to find comfort. I said, I want you to know that what has happened to you, you're not the only one that this stuff has happened to. And I can tell you there are people who've had stuff happen to them who are not mad with God. They have told me that it wasn't for God, they wouldn't have got through it. I said, there are people, I can tell you, people who have lost loved ones who would tell you if God was not in their life, they would have lost their minds. Right. I just, so the problem with you, the fact that you have misplaced anger. You get your anger in the wrong person. Put it where it needs to be, on the perpetrator who did the crime. And I said, but second of all, the fact that you don't really know who God is. Because if you know who God was, you understand that storms come into our life. And I'd like to ask you something, why not you? What makes you so special that this stuff can't happen to you? Who are you that this stuff can't happen to you? Matter of fact, God lost his only son, died for our sins. So who are you that this shouldn't happen to you? Storms come into all of our lives. The key is understanding when a storm comes into our life to recognize who Jesus is. He's God. And recognize his power. There's nothing that God can't get us through. There's nothing that God can't give us peace and victory over, because we are overcomers through Jesus Christ. And he wanted them to understand that, listen, what's going on in your life, because you're losing your mind, because you're afraid, I want you to understand that this storm does not fear me, because I'm in control of this storm. Even what you're going through, God is in control of it. I want you to understand something, that it could be worse. People say, well, yes, it could be worse. It really could be worse. God's grace is so available for you that even in the midst of what you're going through, God is not letting it go as bad as it could be. Come on, church, sister. There is an adversary out there that would love to take me and you out right now, yes, if he could. Yes. If you understand the book of Job, Job had it bad. I mean, he had some stuff happening to him that was horrible. But I want you to understand that even in the midst of that, God was in control, because God told Satan that you can do anything you want to, but just don't do what? Don't kill him. Even there was a hedge of grace around Job to protect him even in the midst of the storm. And God's people go through storms. Don't ever believe someone tells you, well, you come to Jesus Christ, there won't be no storms in your life. Yes, it will. You might get saved and a storm come right after you come out the water. Baptismal water. You might be a storm coming. You might say, right on the water. But in all of that, you learn valuable lessons. You learn who Jesus is. You learn about his power. And you learn who you are in him. That's a good lesson to learn. Because sometimes our hearts can become hard. You know that? Just like the disciples' heart was hardened about the five loaves, you and I can become closed-minded. Something can happen in our life, and we know it was by the grace of God, the goodness of God, it happened to us. And as soon as we forget about that, something's come up, we start losing our mind. Like, oh, what are we going to do now? He said, wait a minute. God said, wait a minute. Remember that time when something else happened and you needed this, I took care of you? Why are you fretting now? Why are you so afraid now? When you didn't have that good job and I took care of you, when you was barely making it, now you're worried about, oh, man, I'm about to lose my job. You're losing your mind. Wait a minute here. Who is your provider? Who is the one who takes care of you? It's Jesus. And he wants them to know that I want you to understand about these five loaves that I am able to create out of nothing. I'm able to provide not only for 5,000 people, I'm able to provide for you 12. That's good news. Storms come into our lives. Exactly. And I think that by John reading the story, and then Matthew chapter 14 and Mark 6, I think also by disciples entering the boat, it teaches you and us some lessons about true discipleship. By them entering the boat, it teaches us lessons of true discipleship. Now the key, you don't find this in John chapter 6, but you find it in Matthew chapter 14 and Mark chapter 6. The key word it says that Jesus made them go into the boat. And when we study that word made, I mean, in fact, they were resisting him. They didn't want to get into the boat. He said, well, why do you want to get in the boat? What can they want to stay with him? Jesus made them get into the boat. He was directing them, I want you to get into this boat. And one thing that you and I must learn as disciples, the key that we got to learn about being a disciple, we must learn obedience. A follower of Jesus Christ is obedient to Jesus. Now, we have got this so mixed up sometimes as Christians. We say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I love God. And that's great. You should love God. But the money question is the fact that, are you obeying Jesus? Are you obeying him? Because when Jesus says in the Great Commission, he puts obedience up there with making disciples. He says that, go and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says, and teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. I tell you this, if there is no obedience, there is no discipleship. And the problem with most Christians, they don't want to obey Jesus. They want something from Jesus, but they don't want to obey Jesus. It's okay to have the five loaves and the fish and to multiply, you know, the bread, my bank account, keep my health in order. But when it comes to obedience, that's the problem that we have. He made them get into the boat. That's discipleship, obedience. Not only that, but once you get into the boat, there's something called perseverance. Now, that's something that we need as Christians. We need perseverance because, you know what? Life gets tough. It does. Life gets hard. Matter of fact, being a Christian is not easy. It really isn't. When people say, oh, being a Christian is easy, that means they haven't walked with Christ enough. Because if you truly walk with Jesus Christ, you understand that when storms come, you have two options. You can stop rowing and just, well, we're going to sing, or you can keep going. Now, I'm going to tell you this, that you learn a lot about Christians in the midst of storms. Because it's easy to praise God when things are going well. But when a storm comes, you can't find them. Well, I've been going through. That's when you start coming to. When you're going through, you come to God's people, right? You come to God. But yet, we started walking away. But these disciples were persevering. They were trying to fight that storm. They didn't give up. They were rowing as hard as they could. They were trying to get to Capernaum. They were trying to get to a destination that Jesus told them, I want you to go to Capernaum. I want you to understand something. We are all going to a destination. If you are a Christian, Jesus Christ is trying to give you a destination to be all that you can be for the glory of God. Now, I don't mean that we're trying to get to heaven. We're going to get there. I'm saying that God is trying to get you to a place in your life where he wants you to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that God has a purpose and plan for your life. And if you're going to try to do what God wants you to do, there is going to come some resistance. And if you don't understand that you need to persevere, you will never be what God has called you and equipped you to be. And that's why some Christians never ever see victory in their lives. They don't want to persevere. If you have a marriage, you have to persevere some things. You have to persevere some issues because it's hard, you know, having a marriage. It's even harder trying to have a Christian, godly marriage to honest God. There's going to be some attacks coming in your life, not only from your own self, but from the enemy. And you're going to be able to persevere even in the midst of that marriage. Not only that, it takes courage. It takes courage as a disciple to obey God and to follow God and to persevere. That's why he told them, when they saw him, he says what? Do not be frightened. Do not be afraid. It is I. There are sometimes the storms come into your life and you become afraid, frightened. Like, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? And God says to you and I, do not be frightened. Have courage. Why can we have courage? Because we know who Jesus is and we know his power. See, that's the key thing. As a Christian, you need to know the person of Jesus Christ and the power of God. And there's so many Christians that do not know the person of God and do not the power of God. You say, well, why are we going through the Gospel of John verse by verse, the whole chapter? Because we need to. That's why we're going through. Because we need to know who Jesus is. Because we don't know who Jesus is. We might know in our mind, but in our lifestyles, we don't know who Jesus is. We don't live like we have power that comes from God. We don't live like we have victory in Jesus Christ. So you need to be obedient. You need to persevere. There needs to be some courage in your life. And yet it says also, we need to have faith. He says, it is I. Do not be afraid. What Jesus said to them, when I tell you it's me, that should calm all your fears. It's me. I'm in your presence. And when Jesus is in our presence in the midst of the storm, there should be a peace that comes over our soul. that when you're going through, the reason why you ain't losing your mind like everyone else, because you know, first of all, Jesus is present with you and you can have peace. Because it says also in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says that, hey, there's a wise builder and there is a foolish builder. The wise builder builds his house on Jesus. The foolish person hears Jesus' words and does nothing with it. And it says something happens. The rain come, the storm come, and the winds come. What Jesus says, in fact, that what he's telling all of us, rain, storms, and wind are going to come in my life and in your life. But he says that when the storm comes and passes, that the person whose house is built upon Jesus will remain standing. And the one that wasn't, their house crumbles, falls apart. And there are many lives that are falling apart because they're not built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. But when you're built upon Jesus Christ, you say, hey, all I can do is stand. Because I'm standing on the foundation of Jesus Christ. I'm standing because I know who he is, and I come to know what I have believed in. And I believe that he's able to keep me through this storm. So don't give up. We must be obedient. We must persevere. We must have courage. We must have faith in Jesus Christ. Now, faith is not blind faith. Well, he wants you to have faith in who he is. He wants you to understand that, listen, just as you saw me multiply those 5 loaves and 2 fish, he wanted to say, not only that, you understand that I can control nature. Because many of us say, okay, well, I know Jesus can take care of this, but what can he do with this? There's nothing, absolutely nothing, that's more powerful than Jesus. Somebody wrote a book and says that, do you have a big God or a small God? Small God, small faith. Big God, big faith. How big is your God? Our God is bigger than our circumstances. The Bible says that God has created the whole world. The old song says that he holds the whole world where? In his hands. That's a big God, isn't it? He got the whole world in his hands. And if he has the whole world in his hands, and I'm in the world, who's in his hands? I am. And you are in good hands with Jesus. You ever commercial say you in good hands with Allstate? No, you're in good hands with Jesus. Trust me. You are in good hands with Jesus. Never no storm comes your way. As a matter of fact, with Allstate, you might have to pay your deductible. With Jesus, there's no deductible. You ain't got to pay no deductible. He says, I got you. I got you covered. You are fully covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's good news, isn't it? And matter of fact, that coverage is free. Yes. Also, you got to pay in, right? But with Jesus Christ, it's all free. It says paid in full. He's already paid your deductible. It's paid in full. That's good news. That's good news. That's some lessons you can learn at sea. And we are all going to go through a time that we're at sea. It's going to get rough. Don't get seasick. Continue to trust God in the midst of what you're going through. Now, even in the story of Jesus walking on water, I want you to understand something else that we can learn. Point three is this. Peter's actions give us keys to overcome in fear. Now, in Matthew chapter 14, it talks about this whole situation about when they walked on water. John leaves this part out, but Matthew talks about it. Do you know that not only did Jesus walk on water, there's someone else that walked on water in history? Who was that person? Peter. Peter walked on water. I mean, he walked on water. And he said, well, how did this happen? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. Let's see how did Peter get a chance to walk on this water? I like Peter. Peter loves to talk. I mean, Peter now, what do you know about Peter? Peter loved Jesus. Now, he made some mistakes, but Peter really loved Jesus. And so let's see what happened about Peter, how Peter walks on water. Now, it picks up at verse 28. Now, when Jesus tells them, take heart, don't be afraid, it is I. Now, here's what Peter says in verse 28. It says, and Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. That's bold, isn't it? Peter said, listen, now, Jesus, if this is really you, I want to take part in this too. That's Peter for you. He's a zealot. He just wants to be part. He said, bid me to come out there. I want to get a part of this too. And then Jesus says, well, come on. He says, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. That's good stuff. He's walking on water. And can you imagine? He's a fisherman. He understands how the waves are. And he takes his 1 foot and gets on the water in his heart. He said, wow, another step. And he starts walking toward Jesus. But something happens. It says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Anybody can walk on water is God. But Peter walked on water. Peter walked on water with Jesus. Now, there's a book written by John Ortberg, and it says this. He says, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out the boat. Duh, right. If you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. Now we can look at Peter, we can laugh about Peter and say, I can't believe Peter. He was about to, look at him, he probably laughed at him. He's all wet, he's about to die, screaming like a little girl, Lord, save me. And we would have laughed at Peter. But Peter could say something that we can't. I walked on water and you didn't. I experienced something with Jesus that you never did. You may laugh at me, but you will never know how it feels to walk on water. I do. Isn't that good news? And what I'm saying to you is this. Peter actually gives us keys to overcoming fear. And most of us don't want to tip anything for God because we are afraid. We are fearful. There are so many Christians that I believe that God has called you to do certain things and you won't do it because you are afraid. Now, here's the key to understanding how to overcome fear. The first thing that Peter did, he says, we must be able to discern God's call. That's the key. That's why when I told you about reading that book about how to hear from God, you need to be able to discern God's call. Here's what Peter said. Look at verse, let's go again to verse 28. He said, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He wanted to know that, Lord, is that really you? As a key thing, you need to know when you're trying to attempt something for God, you want to make sure you're hearing from God. God, is it you? Because many people have a fear of failure. You want to make sure God is calling you. Now, don't leave here today and try to go walk on some water. And you can't swim. You know why? Because I'm going to be doing your funeral next week if that happens. I don't want it to happen to you. So don't leave here saying, I'm going to go walk on water. The pastor preached about walking on water. I'm going to walk on some water. No. The only reason Peter walked on water is because God told him to. He says, God, if it's you, bid me to come to you. He wanted to make sure it was God's call. And there are many people who want to do stuff for God, and you ask them, is God telling you to do that? Well, I don't know. I just want to do that. Well, no. You want to make sure as a Christian that you're hearing from God and that God is calling you to do something, to attempt great things from him. But many of us can discern the voice of God, God's call. And not only that, we must get over the fear of failure. And some of us, we say, yeah, God's calling me. Now, when God told him to come, Peter could have said, that's okay. I'm just playing. I believe you. That's enough for me. That's okay. But Jesus said, come. And Peter's like, okay, I'm coming. Now, I want you to understand something. Why didn't the other 11 get the boat with Peter? Why didn't they get out? Why didn't he even ask him, hey, he's going, I'm going too. I think they was watching Peter, what's going to happen to him? We're going to watch Big Mouth Peter. See what happens. And they were watching, it's like, let's see what happens. And I guarantee you, when he started sinking, he probably started laughing. Yeah, see, Peter, there you go again. You know what this? Many people don't try things because they're afraid to fail. And there are many Christians who won't do anything for God because they are afraid to fail. They're afraid of failure. So say, well, these, hey, I'm not doing anything because I'm afraid of failure before other people, before God, so I won't do anything. And I want you to understand something, that failure is a part of life. And not all failure is bad. I was thinking about something, and I was reading this book by John. Well, I got a quote from John Maxwell, and it says that it's called Failing Forward. And he said that you should fail early, fail often, but always fail forward. He said, you should fail, but you should fail often, fail early, but you should always fail forward. Meaning the fact that your failures are to mature you and to make you fail forward, and it makes you grow. You grow a lot from failure than you ever do from success. And so he wants us to fail. And this is what he said, you know, he says that there is a difference between average people and achieving people is their perception of and response to failure. How they perceive failure, their response to failure. He says that the better a man is, the more mistakes he will make. For the more new things he will try, mistakes really do pave the road to achievement. He said that if you are a great person, you're going to make mistakes. The more things you try, the more mistakes you're going to make. But in making those mistakes, you become great and you become good and you achieve more than a person who does nothing. Doesn't do anything. And many of us do nothing for God because we fear failure and we won't do anything. That's true. Peter experienced walking on water, and the 11 didn't. They were wet because of the sea. Peter was wet because he had walked on water. And he talked about it. Now I want you to understand something, that all of us can have that. I have a fear of failure. I don't want to fail. I really don't. I have a personal fear of failure. And that can paralyze me at times. But I have come to understand that the only failure is not trying. Really, the only failure is not trying. I have a fear of failure. I mean, it's something I've struggled with my whole life. I even struggle with today. I don't want to fail. I really don't. I don't want to fail as a father. I don't want to fail as a husband. I don't want to fail as a pastor. I don't want our church to fail. I have a fear of failure. And that haunts me day to day, day to day. I don't want to fail. I really don't. I want to win. I'm telling you, I do anything, I want to do it to excellence. I don't want to fail. Maybe you do, but not me. I want our church to succeed. I think about that every day of my life. Every hour is on my mind. But I come to understand, too, is that God says, Demetrius, if you are doing what I've called you to do, then you have been faithful to what I've called you to do. Be faithful to me. And if you have been faithful to me, no matter what anybody else says, you will hear me say, well done, that good and faithful servant. You've done well. You serve an audience of one. That's what we have to understand as Christians, that so now that fear is constantly going away. I don't fear anymore like I used to. Because I know if I'm doing what God's called me to do, I'm going to be okay. I have discerned God's call. I believe that I'm doing what God's called me to do. I believe that God told us to start beyond the world. I believe that. I heard that. I believe God told me to do this. And so for me, I'm at a point now where I'm no longer shaken by what I see. I am moved by what I know, by the word of God, and what I have heard God tell me to do. That's what moves me every day. So I'm not shaking anymore. And you shouldn't be shaking either. You really should. So I'm trying to encourage you, as I encourage myself. Don't be shaken. I'm telling you right this. I'm going to tell you right now. Don't you think that I can't see what's out there? I know sometimes we look around and say, man, where's everybody at? And I'm telling you right now, when I'm preaching to a cloud of witnesses. I'm preaching to heaven. Because I believe that while I'm preaching, the Father is looking down and saying, keep preaching, brother. Amen. That he's saying, you preaching about my son. And he's amen and saying, I hear what you're saying. Keep preaching it. Because God has called me to preach. Whether there's one person, or there's two people, there's 300 people, or 2,000 people, the message stays the same. I am called to preach to God, to preach the gospel. Amen. And you need to understand that. So I'm not moving anymore about what I see, what I don't see. Amen. We have to be consistent with the word of God. I'm not afraid anymore to try, and you should not be either. I don't care what people say. I'm done with that. Because I want you to understand something too. We must trust God even when it gets rocky. I'm telling you, it will get rocky. It has got rocky at times. You guys who have been here with us from the beginning, you know we started in our home. You see things happening. You see how we were growing. We see people leaving. And you say, what are you going to do? I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. Right. I'm going to keep preaching as if I'm preaching to 5,000 people. So you been say he has never changed from how he was preaching when it was in his house and in his school. Now we got a building. It's always been the same, preaching the gospel. Yeah. And you need to be the same way too. So be encouraged today. Yeah. Be encouraged by what God has done in our life. Be encouraged. Don't be moved by your situation anymore. Because when storms come, trust God in your life. If you believe God has called you here to be on the wall, you should be shouting and praising God. Yeah. Shouldn't be afraid. Yeah. Shouldn't be afraid of what we're going to do. We're going to keep praising God. Yeah. And when it gets rocky, we're going to do what? Trust God. Because God is what? Able. He's able today, church. He's able. And we will see the blessings of God in our life because we'll say, God is able. He's able in our lives because we know who Jesus is and we know what he's called us to do. And you need to, don't be afraid anymore. Get rid of fear. Get rid of failure. If God's called you to do something, do it. And I didn't put this down here, but I thought about it. You must be careful of other people's opinions too. Amen. You better be careful about that. Of other people's opinions. Because not everybody you're talking to is hearing from God. Amen. And I want to talk to people who can get a word from God. I want to ask you what you would do. I want to know what would the Lord have you. I want you to get with me and pray and seek God with me. And we want to hear a word from the Lord. You want to hear from God. And the reason why the other people didn't get out the boat because of the fact that, like you said, hey, Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me. He didn't say us, me. It was a personal call. Bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. And Peter got the boat and came to Jesus. Now, that's discipleship. That's obedience, right? That's obedience. Peter took courage. But what happened when the wind started blowing? Peter looked around. And what happened? He took his eyes off Jesus. We cannot take our eyes off Jesus. He is our compass. He is the one that never moves off the sea. When everything else is moving, you find your spot, and you stick right there, and you keep guiding because that spot never moves on land. Jesus is that solid rock that never moves. And you need to keep your eyes on Jesus. Peter took his eyes off Jesus and started looking at his situation. The wind started blowing. And he began to sink and drown. Now, people say, well, Jesus really didn't walk on water. There were some rocks that he walked on. But it says, the Bible says Peter's about to drown. He thought he was. And Jesus lifted him. And now, Peter had enough sense to do this. He called upon the Lord. Lord, save me. That's good news. When you are in a bind, when you are sinking, you better call on Jesus. Amen. I mean, you better get a prayer through. And your prayer can only be, Lord, save me. And Peter wasn't praying, no, he wasn't praying no sweet, cute prayer. He was loud. He was screaming, Lord, save me. And Jesus picked him up and carried Peter to the boat. What a powerful God. He picks up Peter, one hand, picks the grown man up, puts him in his arms, and walking on water, taking Peter to the boat. God can carry you through a situation. He can carry you. Because some of you, you may feel like, I'm sinking. God can carry you. Have you called on Jesus? Lord, deliver me. Deliver my messed up situation. Deliver these finances. Deliver this. Lord, deliver me. And God will reach out and carry you. He can carry you in the midst of a storm. And when he's carrying you, he would carry you safely to that destination. He would carry you. Trust God in the midst of what you're going through. Don't have a hard heart. And the key for us, there's valuable lessons that we can learn. And it's simply our conclusion. As disciples, the more you know of Jesus, the more you should attempt great things for his glory. Like I said before, you don't walk in water because you want to. You walk on water because Jesus told you to. You attempt great things because Jesus told you to do it. In life, there will be storms. But don't be afraid. Jesus is with you. He has promised never to leave you, never to forsake you. It's like that poem, the footprints in the sand. You ever read that poem? Say, hey, when things are going good, I saw two footprints. We having a great time. He says, when things are going bad, Lord, I only saw one. I guess you left. And what did Jesus say? No, my son, my daughter, it was then and I was carrying you. God would carry you safely home. There's nothing that you're going through that God can't carry you through. Be of good cheer. Be encouraged. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. He never changes. I thank God that he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And he is able to keep what I have given to him. And that's my life and your life. If you're giving your life to Jesus, trust him. No storm is too big for our God. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. God, we thank you that in all things you're with us. In the good and not so good, you're there, God.
There's a sound of
Lord,
worship,
we know that storms come into our lives.
Brought forth this morning.
But with you, God, we can
and let us lift
have
it
no
up
fear
now.
Because we know that you're with us. God, I pray for anyone here today who may be going through a storm in their life, that, Lord, they will seek and look to you because you never change. And you're always available to us whenever we call. So, God, I pray, Lord, that most of all, that we will know you as Savior through your Son, Jesus Christ. That we will commit our lives to you. And that we will commit to trust you in every day, in everything that we do. So, God, we bless you on today. God, we thank you for allowing this body to be here today. Thank you for our church family. God, help us to remain faithful to you. May we never waver, never doubt, never give up. But may we trust you. For your kingdom is the glory and the honor and all the power. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's be encouraged.